I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is a great honor to be with you again, the people of God, as we worship in this place at this particular time. I have to say that these days my congregation consists of my mother-in-law, two cats, and two dogs. And my dear mother-in-law, of course, being 93, can't escape too easily. But here you are, and you're sitting in these pews, and you have heard the word of God proclaimed to you this day. And part of that word of God speaks of the nature of discipleship. The nature of discipleship. I am sure you all consider yourselves to be disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. But one question I would like to pose to you today is a question that the Greeks who went to Jerusalem posed to the disciples there. They said, and we read in the Gospel, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Now, we don't really formalize those words very much. We don't think to ourselves, "Oh, we want to see Jesus." But in fact, there is a sense in which there is a great yearning and longing within each of us to make some connection with the divine. This has been so in humanity since the mists of time have begun. And so we are here today. And the question is, why really are we here? Yes, we want to see Jesus, but what does that mean? What does that mean? We could be in bed at this hour. We could have brunch with our friends. It's Sunday. We could go to the gym. We could do any number of things, but we're here. And what I would like to say to you today is that we're here for a very particular purpose, and it is called the formation of our spirits. We read in the first reading from the Old Testament about the covenant and how Jeremiah reflected upon the whole reality of the covenant and moved that covenant from the covenant of Noah, which began everything, the covenant of Moses on the two tablets, and the prophets, and Jeremiah being one of the great prophets, looked at the reality of the covenant as it moved from age to age and saw that that understanding of the law, that being given the law, that learning the law in itself was not enough. Now today, when we think of the word covenant, as you know, it's not used very often. In this age that we live in, we just don't think in covenantal terms, and yet there is a sense in which we have now and then some glimpses of that when we bring children to baptism, when we see marriages where people commit themselves to one another. We see this kind of covenant being worked out. But it's still not something that grabs us, that possesses us, that gives us a sense of reality. No. But Jeremiah had an understanding of how this covenant could be appropriated and taken on by humanity. He talked about the covenant being placed into the heart of the believer, and that in the heart of the believer, that they would no longer have to ask or speak or be taught about God, that they would know God. Now, that was a whole new direction for covenantal understanding. It takes a different form centuries later in a man called Jesus. And Jesus went up and down the country, and he taught, and he preached, and he healed, and he cast out demons, and he sent his disciples to do the same thing. And in doing so, drew attention to all of the presence of God in our midst. And so it is not strange at all that the Greeks who were in Jerusalem to celebrate the holy days asked, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." because they had heard those things. And we have heard those things. And we, in our lives, have seen glimpses of those holy things. We have seen people being transformed. We have seen people rising in their knowledge of God and of the people and of the community and changing before us, because we are people deeply attached to one thing: change. We change. We understand that we change. And further to that, we understand that we must change, that we must become different people, that who we are is the beginning of a great creation that God has made in us. And that creation is not a gift to us alone, but indeed it is a gift to our family, our friends, our community. St. Augustine had a wonderful prayer, which you've heard many of you, I'm sure, before, but it is worth saying those words again. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. We are restless. We look around at the world today. We see the political situations in every corner of the world. We see the rise of militarism. We see the hungry, the homeless. We see division within countries, within families, within our own souls at times. And our hearts are restless, because we know that that is not the way life is meant to be. We know it is not the way community is meant to be. We know, in fact, that we are called into a unity where our lives are dominated not by strife, not by war, not by hate, but by compassion, by forgiveness, by openness, and by our willingness to love. And it is that reality that we aspire to, and it is that restlessness within us that draws us towards God. And you're here today, yearning and longing for that heart that is restless to find its rest in the God who responds to our needs when we call upon God. This day, we are like how the psalmist described in Psalm 42, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? Friends, let us never lose that impetus, that willingness to search for the face of Christ. And I pray that in the process of looking for Christ, that we allow ourselves to look through our eyes and see that, in fact, the face of Christ is all around us. It is in the face of our neighbors, our friends, our family, the transients on the streets, those who are sick, and those who are seeking. The face of Jesus is to be found everywhere. And when we see that face, we love, we open, we accept that God is in our midst, and we are called into that relationship which not only transforms us, but transforms the world that God loves. Be that instrument of love. Look for Christ and see him. Amen.